Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
Got an interesting story out of Louisiana. KNOE reports this. Matthew Segura wrote it. $586,000 discrepancy in public funds after years of theft in Caldwell Parish. That's reported by an audit they've conducted. The sheriff says he and his staff are working hard to improve operations, and they've already made a lot of progress. But, of course, the progress being made now and the improvements, of course, are after the $500,000 was discrepancied. A recent audit of that sheriff's office has revealed a big discrepancy in money that was going in and going out over the last few years. Nearly $600,000 in taxes, fees, and fines collected by the Caldwell Parish Sheriff's Office was never deposited into a government bank account. That's after a state audit was issued. The auditors say they found evidence that the employee in charge of overseeing the collection and accounting of those public funds actually spent years stealing the money. So instead of safeguarding it, she's stealing it. The findings released by the Louisiana legislature and its auditor in June said that when someone paid their taxes, fees, or fines in cash, that money was not properly secured in the building. It was not in a locked drawer or box. Too many employees had access to the money with no documented accountability over who was accessing it. And who's supposed to be accessing the money other than a person takes it in and puts it in the bank account? And it was even used to cash personal checks. So someone cuts you a personal check and you work here, you can say, hey, can I cash this check in that slush fund we got going back there? So on top of that, the audit report says overall record keeping was inconsistent and unreliable. Oh, the report states auditors found evidence that CPSO received a higher sum of payments than what was actually deposited in the bank accounts going back to 2017. So they discovered that, like an algebra problem, here's how much money got brought in, here's how much got put in the bank, there's a missing amount. Solve for X. We compared CPSO collection records from the property tax fines and fees and bank statements and found $586,811 was recorded as collected but not deposited. Since CPSO did not write receipts for all collections and did not always specify the payment type or the reasons for payment, we could not rely on CPSO's receipt records to determine the amount of funds and or cash collected. And what I also wonder about is if someone pays cash and they don't give them a receipt, seriously, who does that? The audit says a woman who first started working at the sheriff's office in 1985 was the chief civil deputy at the time, was responsible for overseeing operations involving finances. The audit says she admitted to taking the cash from the sheriff's office. According to her, she started taking cash collections from CPSO in 2017. She stated that she only took cash and deposited into her or her daughter's bank accounts. Her bank records show cash deposits of $167,000 from January 1st, 2017 to 2021. Her daughter's bank accounts show an additional $9,000 of cash deposits in the same period. She further said that she and her mother, it's a daughter apparently, gave her money on a regular basis, usually $300 through a check or cash, and that she deposited these funds to her personal bank account. We, the auditors, found 37 cash deposits of $300, totaling $11,100, and 9 checks from her mother totaling $2,350 that were deposited to her personal bank account. The woman was arrested in September of last year on charges of malfeasance in office and felony theft. Further information on the dollar amounts can be found in the full report, which is on the internet. I read it, and it's lengthy, but there's a quote here. She also told us everyone got paid despite the cash she took. She said she transferred funds from the general fund accounts to the property tax and fines and fees bank accounts to ensure there was enough money to cover required disbursements of property taxes and fines and fees to other agencies. So apparently, this place is running a surplus, and she's basically saying, look, everything got paid, just the money I took was a surplus. The sheriff's response, the auditor's findings and recommendations are included in the public report, but in there, he says, as you are aware, she is no longer employed by our office and is making restitution of the stolen funds as identified in your report, although she was singularly responsible for most of our deposit and collection process, We have made sweeping improvements to our internal controls in this area. The sheriff said he's already implemented better security measures in response to the audit. This includes 24-hour cameras, locking cash drawers, an end to employees cashing personal checks, and better record keeping. It's kind of like I did the story about a month ago about the evidence room at a police department that had cash and people just borrowed the money. But they paid it back, even though it was evidence. He also says they'll have better record keeping going forward. And he says he's also trying to place cash payments as something that he can phase out. And that was the first listed recommended change from the auditor. So the auditor did recommend 8 steps, including stop accepting cash payments. That seems to be what causes a lot of the temptation here. Prohibit employees from cashing personal checks with this account. Provide a lockable separate cash register for each employee that collects payments. And then require a complete record and so on and so forth. But what I thought was interesting is it's pretty clear what happened here. We all know what happened here. There's one person in charge of handling stuff that gets paid into this organization. She handles that stuff. And then, of course, some of it doesn't get where it's supposed to go because she mishandled it. And they don't have procedures in place to keep that from happening. And, you know, I've worked places where we had to handle cash. And if I had tried pocketing some of the cash, it wouldn't have gone very well. And that's simply because the people who oversaw this put systems in place to double check this stuff. And so the interesting thing is I read the summary. I think it's 10, 15 pages, something like that. And it's written in very, very clinical language. But the last sentence of the executive summary, they put a summary at the front of the report that says, here's the executive summary. For those of you who are executives and haven't got time to read the whole report, here's the summary. And the last sentence of the summary is, by taking CPSO funds and using them for her and her daughter's personal benefit, she may have violated state law. By taking the funds and using them for her and her daughter's personal benefit, she may have violated state law. And that's one of those things. You know, I had someone send me a note just the other day and say, Steve, when you do a story about someone accused of a crime, why do you say they are alleged to have done the crime? Why don't you just say that they did it? And a lot of that hinges on where you are in the process, legal process. So someone who's on trial is accused of a crime. When they are convicted, you can say they're convicted of the crime, and you'll often notice that in the media, that's often where the dividing line is. So if someone gets convicted of murder, they'll just refer to somebody as a murderer or convicted murderer. But when someone is accused, they'll say, oh, they allegedly or are accused of, because those statements are correct as phrased. The person is accused of this. They're charged with this. They're on trial for this. But you can't call them a murderer yet because they haven't been convicted and they might not be convicted. And so a lot of times people do tend to couch the language that way. Even after a person's been convicted, they'll say, oh, well, this person's, you know, the alleged murderer, blah, 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 blah. And that's not always necessary. But I think some of that also comes from, what if somebody files an appeal? Because occasionally convictions get overturned on appeal. So a lot of times people, just to protect themselves, will couch the language in such a way as to where they can say, well, I didn't call the person a thief. I said they were an alleged thief because people had said they'd stolen stuff. But here they say, by taking the money and using it for her and her daughter's personal benefit, she may have violated state law. Yeah, that's an understatement. She may have. If it's true, she did. But if it's true, so I understand them putting that there. But the interesting thing about this whole transaction, and it hasn't gone to trial yet as far as I know, but from everything I saw, the woman admitted that she had done this. She admitted it. Apparently, that's what it looks like. And if she's admitted it, well, then we may not have to say that she may have violated state law. So we'll see. The question is, can she pay back the $586,000 that there's a discrepancy for? Because that's the problem. They recorded it coming in, and it never got deposited. Where did it go? And for those of you who are curious, I had somebody ask me the other day about edits you see in the video. So occasionally I'll be talking, and I'll keep talking, but you'll see the image kind of glide from one to another, and has obviously been cut there. And I had somebody say, how'd you do that? Where you kept talking, but there's an edit. And in case you didn't know this, if I make a mistake while I'm talking, I can repeat the last sentence I said and cut it out, put it together, and quite often it goes quite smoothly. However, there was an edit about 60 seconds ago where I had a sneezing fit. I don't know why. I just started sneezing. So I tried to remember what the last thing was I said before I sneezed, and I repeated it, and I cut out the sneezing fit. So there you go. So this is more behind-the-scenes information than you probably needed to know. But the story was written by Matthew Segura for KNOE. $586,000 discrepancy in public funds after years of theft in Caldwell Parish, according to an audit report. Questions or comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye. And in case you didn't know this, if I make a mistake while I'm talking, I can repeat the last sentence I said and cut it out, put it together, and quite often it goes quite smoothly. And in case you didn't know this,
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. When we're positive, we become more motivated, energetic, resilient, and productive.